about y'all, but when I reflect, I can see some hearing the word last year and not doing a whole lot with it in certain areas of my own personal life. So I want to make sure that this coming year that I get up on that, and I'm not just a hearer, because I don't want to be deceived. I don't know about y'all, but I want the promises of God in my life coming to pass. I want to, when I leave here, because I'm going to give an account to God for my life when I get there. Every person, saved, not saved, lost, you're going to give an account to God of your entire life. I don't know about y'all, but that can be a scary thing. Or it can be a greatly rewarding thing. Why? Because God had me born into the earth with a purpose. The Apostle Paul talked about how, you know, at one time when he was getting ready to leave, you know, pass away, go be with the Lord and all that, he said, it's good for you that I stay, he said, but for me it's greater that I go. Why? Because he would be with the Lord. He said, but it's more expedient or better for you that I stay here, so I choose to stay here. Why? Because, in other words, he hasn't finished his course yet. There's more of the purpose of God in his life, not just for him, but for the benefit of other people, for him to stay here. So when I get there, I'm going to give an account of my life. I am a owner of absolutely nothing. I know we don't like to hear those words. According to Scripture, if I'm born again, I don't even own myself. Right, y'all know the Scripture, right? The Bible says that my body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. I'm bought with a price. I am not my own. So therefore, everything done in this body, I will give an account to God. Everything said out of these mouths, the Bible says I'll be judged according to my words, right? Every word that comes out of my mouth, I will be judged on those words. Good or bad, rewarded for the good, you know, and those others not so good. Y'all getting real quiet now. I will give an account to God for what I do with money. Oh, y'all don't even want to go here. Why? Because I am not an owner of the money that comes into my life. The Bible talks about, to me, I'm only a steward. Right? How many knows you can be an owner, but you're not the owner of it? See, it's real easy for me to spend Scotty's money. He asked me, we'd go to Walmart or somewhere, and he'll say, did you bring your billfo? I said, I brought you. I brought my billfo. Why? Because I brought him. I'm only a steward. I'm going to spend your... Oh, I don't want to go with this one. See, the Bible talks about tithing, right? Talks about it in the New Testament. Talks about it in the Old Testament. Jesus told them, you know, when they got on tithing and all this, he said, you should have done this, but not left the weightier matters of the law undone. Right? Justice, truth, and all that. Did he say, don't tithe? No, he said, you should have been. He said, give unto God what's God's and give unto Caesar what's Caesar's, right? So when I look back over this last year of my life of 2020, and by the way, anybody that doesn't want your record of your giving after church, let me know so I don't have to fix yours out, because it's the time of year I've got to get that done. So when I go back and I look over my 2020 year of giving, was I a steward or did I act like an owner? Oh, good grief, y'all ain't saying nothing. Am I telling the truth or not? Well, okay, but see, then I want God to bless me. I want him to open the windows of heaven, and I want him to pour me out a blessing that there's not room enough for me to receive. But how many knows, if I want a harvest, I have to sow the seeds that brings the harvest. Because if you don't plant a seed, you'll never have a harvest. Everything in the natural realm parallels in the spiritual realm. And we know according to the word. There's the ways of prosperity that God has set up in his kingdom. That what your job is. Listen, I don't even have a physical job that I go to every week. Now, yeah, I mean, I do things for the church. I do things for Scotty's business. There's work that I have to do. But what I mean is I don't go clock in a 40-hour week and get a paycheck. But how many knows that I can walk in the same prosperity plan of God as anybody else? And I don't even have to clock in and out. How do I know that? According to his word. Any finances that comes into my gates or whatever that comes to me, guess what I can do with it? I can tithe on it. I can sow it. I can give it. The Bible says give and what? It shall be given. Good measure. Pressed down. Shaken together. Running over. Shall men give into my bosom? But how many knows a lot of people want men given to their bosom, but they ain't given nothing. You ain't ain't giving nothing, ain't nothing coming. Why? Because you have to sow the seed. You have to work the laws that God's word for you to get the benefits or the promises. The Bible says if I want a lot of friends, do what? Be crabby and grouchy. Are you sure? That's why I ain't got many. I'm a lot like Doris. I'm just kidding. Me and her, we are a lot alike, though. We're not crabby and grouchy, but anyway. He says what? Show myself friendly. If I want friends, the Bible says show myself friendly. If I want friends, I'll get friends. If I don't want friends, just be crabby and grouchy. You won't have none. Why? Nobody likes crabby and grouchy. Even Jesus himself said, I'm not hard and harsh. Right? He said, I'm easy. I'm not hard and I'm not harsh. Whew, this was not the direction I was going, but how many knows y'all just throw it right out? Y'all like y'all's coffee black, do you? I like a little coffee with all my cream and sugar. The title of this, I think it is anyway, Facts Doesn't Change Truth. Now, a lot of what I have just said this morning, and we ain't even read the scriptures yet, is truth. How do I know truth? The Word of God tells me truth. The Bible says, howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, talking about the Holy Spirit, has come. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth. He does not bear witness with a lie. He only bears witness with the truth, right? Now, put up John 14:6, please. Let's see who or what is true, according to Scripture, not my opinion. Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. So we see here, Jesus himself said he is the truth. In other places in John, the Bible says Jesus is the Word, right? He was with God. He was God. He came down and dwelt among us in the flesh and all of that. He says, I am the way, I am the truth, and the life. Now, John 17:17. Zach. He says, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is what? So we see in just two places, and there's many other places that we're not going to take the time to look. Because the Bible says, let every word be established by two or more witnesses, right? So here's at least two. Jesus is the truth. I quoted the scripture about the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth. He bears witness with the truth. And Jesus said that his word is truth. So this written word here is the truth. Jesus is the truth. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth, right? Everything else is a lie. Right? Let's see how I want to go here. Let's go over to 2 Corinthians 4. Now, I told you the title is Facts Changed. What is a fact? I may not have a dollar in my billfold, or I may not have a bank account, I may not have and I may not have a dime of money to my name right now, for an example. But how many knows, according to truth, rich? And I'm not talking about spiritually. I'm spiritually rich, and I am physically, financially rich. Why? The Bible says Jesus himself, and hopefully we'll have time, we'll look at the scripture, took upon himself poverty that I might be made rich. Okay, that same thing there is the same thing as it says, Jesus was made to be sin so that I might be made, what? Righteous. Everything about this is an exchanged life. How many knows he was rich? He had absolutely everything. He is the creator of all things. The Bible says nothing was made without him. Everything lives and breathes in him and has its being, right? I mean, he's everything. But yet at the same time, and the Bible talks about how he left his glory and all that, and he came down here on the earth, and how was he born? Not as a king. In a manger. He could have been born anywhere. Him, He should have. But for me and you, he was born a baby in a manger with absolutely nothing. They have money to be in the inn. There just wasn't any room there. God, how many knows God made it that way? Why? Because it is an exchange life. He comes down here and he lives as having nothing so that I can have absolutely everything. The Bible talks about how he took upon himself stripes to pay the price for my healing. All this, how many knows all this was done at one time? When you look up the word salvation, and there's more than just getting saved in that word. There's deliverance in that word from darkness. The word salvation is a total package when you begin to study out that word. It is a total package. So just like what I said, where you used to be in poverty, you may in the natural be there right now, but how many in the spirit and in the eyes and the heart of God, you are absolutely rich, even though you may not be able to pay your bills right now. And this is one of the hardest things for the flesh to deal with. That's why the Bible talks about in Romans 12, too. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed, how? By the renewing of your mind. Why? Because my mind is where my soul is. My mind is housed in there, and so is my decision-making factor. My spirit is born again of the Spirit of God. He believes every word of God. Then I've got my soul, which is made up of my mind, my will, and my emotions. My what I believe there, what I think is there, and then I make my decisions out of my soul. Then I have a flesh, a physical body that I have to deal with. So I got saved probably about 4 or 5 months before I turned 24. So I had at least 23 years of living by it. The only thing is what I could see, what what I could feel, what I could taste. So for 23 years at least, I am 100% trained expertly in that. How old was you when you got saved, Johnny? About 5 or 6 years ago, somewhere around in there? You're not a woman, so you can tell us how old you are. Around 28 years old. So you had at least 28 years of being trained by only going by what you see and hear and feel in the natural realm. That is every one of us at whatever age we got born again. Then you get born again, and God says, okay, we got to flip the script because now you're going to have to live the way you was intended to live to begin with. Now I have to go by spiritual discerning. What I see in the spirit realm, everything that I see, it's realm, but in that realm. See, that's what faith does. We have things that is exactly in common for every one of us, just like salvation. How do we know that God wants everybody to be born again? That he paid the absolute price for everybody ever born on the planet to be born again? Because we know what the word says, right? It would that he don't want anybody to perish, but everybody to become unto repentance, right? And to be born again. That's the will of God. Then why do we have to say, well, God, if it be thy will, heal me? Thank you, Johnny. Why would we ever do that? Would we ever say, God, if it be your will, save them? Yeah. No. Why? Because we know the will of God concerning that. Well, do you not realize just as much as he paid the price for their salvation, at the same time he paid the price for everybody on the earth healing? At the same time. Actually, before he ever even got onto the cross, he started shedding blood. Y'all remember in the Garden of Gethsemane, the Bible says his sweat became as great drops of blood. His pores opened up and actually droplets of blood came out. So much pressure was being put on his flesh. So he was shedding blood from the Garden of Gethsemane all the way through till they pierced him in the side. For what? Well, according to Isaiah, for my salvation, for my healing, for my peace. So why would we ever think, you know, okay, God, if it be your will, heal Blake. How do I know his will? We just read the scriptures a while ago. He said, Lord, sanctify him through thy word, for thy word is truth. This tells me what truth is. This tells me what the will of God is. It tells me what God's heart is. It tells me his every desire. But because I'm so trained by what I see and what I think and what I feel and what I hear, I believe I'm healed when I feel like it. You always say that. Listen, I just come to the through the COVID. I know what I'm talking about. Stuff I'm telling you. Now, for some people, it was nothing. For me, other people's passed away. But for me, I felt like. You watch the Cowboys and the Indians and they get scalped. I felt like. Go away, and I wasn't hurting, and I touched my hair, it was sore. I had one weekend, I thought, I am going to die. I felt so bad. And I'm telling you, it is times like those that it tests the word. Are you the healed, or are you the sick? Well, according to truth, was done well over 2,000 years ago for me that I got born again and I received my salvation package and my deliverance package and my healing package and my peace. All that over 2,000 years ago, I am the healed. But guess what? Here's something come to my healing from me. See, we're not the sick trying to get healed. We are the healed, and the devil's trying to make us sick and steal our health. Why? Because according to John 10:10, he only steal, kill, and destroy. That's the only things he comes for. So the reason why sickness and disease comes, listen, all sickness and disease is the devil. Contradiction of Scripture for him to put sickness and disease on people, but then put sickness and disease on Jesus to take away from people. That's a total contradiction. It's the will of God for everybody to be healed. Now, there may be some conditions on that. I don't know. Sometimes you have to forgive. Why? Because, number one, you're in a wrong spirit, and it's hard for you to receive in a wrong spirit or walk out what wrong spirit. So sometimes you got to forgive. The Bible says when you stand there praying, forgive. Why? Number one, the devil in your own conscience is going to condemn you. It's hard for me when I do something to Scotty and I'm ugly to him. It's hard for me to do Sunday school unless I get that out of the way. Why? Because the devil in my own conscience, you know what you said. The Bible talks about the Apostle Paul. He served God with a clear conscience. I don't care what you did. Get it under the blood. Get it out of the way. Therefore, your own conscience to bear witness that you are of the truth. You have been forgiven, right? The Bible says that we have enough with the Father, if we in Jesus Christ the righteous, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and he's just to do what? Forgive us. That's not a one-time thing like some people would say today. I know when I've done wrong. And when I know I've done wrong, it's time for me to repent, right? Oh, I had at least 23 years of walking by everything that I see. Everything that I hear, everything that I feel in the natural. I am not aware of the spirit realm except for darkness. We will go into all of that. But let's look here in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And for time's sake, I'm going to start reading, I think it's, verse 8. Now, I quoted you the scripture in Romans 12:2. It says, be not conformed to this world, but be you transformed. That word transformed is like a metamorphosis. You're a worm or whatever you call it, a caterpillar, and you go into a cocoon, and then a certain amount of time comes to pass, and you come out, and you are a flying, beautiful butterfly. That's what renewing your mind does for you. Why? Because your spirit's already renewed. He's already regenerated. But now, the Bible talks about work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Salvation has come on the inside of me, but now it has to be worked out over a process and a period of time and renewing my mind and yielding to the Holy Spirit, right, to where it's out into my entire life, in my physical body, my thinking, in my decision-making, in my choices, right? Now, I'm going to say, what did I tell you first? Oh, 2 Corinthians 4. I'm sorry. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, and I'm going to start reading in verse 8, I think is what I'm wanting. And this is just for time's sake. Y'all can go back and read the whole chapter. He says, we are troubled on every side. Y'all ever hear people, well, I can't do this because I'm just... Listen, I don't know about y'all, but I have to go through and still come to Sunday school. Scotty's mama passes away, and they are calling him and texting him. He is fixing to start preaching, and he tells them, I'll be over there when I get done. Don't say nothing. I can't go because I'm too tired. That's not my message. What I thought my message was going to be. Just too tired this morning. You know, I've worked hard all week. I've worked 80 doggone hours this week. Don't you think I deserve a little bit of rest? Sure you do. But let's do it on Monday. No, we can't. Not on Monday. No, we got to go to Walmart, Doris. I got a birthday party to go to. Don't you know I can do that on Sunday? I can't do that. I can't rest on Sunday. I mean, I can't go to church this morning because I need my sleep, and I slept about 3 hours last night. And I don't need y'all to clap and say yay or nothing else. I do what I do. I can't give this week. I can't tie this week because now I'm just telling you I didn't get as many hours as what I thought I was supposed to. And then they took this out of my check, you know, and I've got that coming out because I've got all these hospital bills and blah, blah. Woo. Whoa, whoa, whoa. What are you going to get where you can afford it? See what I'm telling you? We're so trained in what we have seen and heard and felt and the way the world does things to where when it comes over here to the kingdom of God, if you don't take the word and renew your mind, you will do just like you did before you got saved in a lot of areas. So how am I ever going to get to the place to where I can tithe? Can give, and I can pay somebody's light bill, or I can buy somebody a car, or I can buy Walmart or Lucky's or somewhere behind somebody, and they're short for their grocery money, and I'm just glad to say, here, take $100 here. Just take it out of mine right here. Just go on with it. How are you ever going to get there? It may be a desire in your heart, and the Bible says he gives us these desires, but there has to be something working in us and us working with it to get to that place. And it don't feel good. Most of the time. It never feels good, Sandy, when I hear that verse says, wives, submit yourselves to your own husband as unto the Lord. Get him, just left that off for me. I don't want to submit to nobody. Show it. Listen, I'm a woman. I know how y'all are, women. I am one. Burn our bras and just live free. Nobody tell us nothing. Good Lord. Oh, my goodness. Well, didn't they do that? What was that, back in the 60s or the 70s? Oh, I don't know. The Holy Ghost does. Nobody tell us nothing. Who do you think you are? You're about dumb as dirt. I know y'all don't. Shannon's taking notes now, Cassandra. I see him writing that down. I didn't see nothing before that. Ooh, my goodness, I'm sweating up here. Oh. But you know what, Sandy? That's not going to bless me. That's just not going to bless me. That's not going to get me to the place to where I can pay somebody's grocery bill. I'm not even going to be able to pay mine with that one. Why? Because he said, I guess probably after the book. They might be dumb as dirt, but that has nothing to do with what God said. You may be smarter, but that has nothing to do with what God said. If we we submit like he says to, like we're supposed to, it will go well with us. Whether it goes well with them or not, it will benefit and bless us, whether it benefits and blesses them or not, whether they do right or wrong. Why? Can't nobody take nothing from me. If I do right, I'll be blessed. If I do wrong, it will not go well with me. Right? Gosh, I've tried to read the scripture over here. Stop, ma'am. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, and I'm going to start reading verse 8. He says, here we go again. I can't go to church today. I'm just going through. I tell you, these kids have just driven me nuts. And that husband, I'm telling you, if he don't get a job, he'll get out of this house. How long are you going to go through? I'm telling you, bless their hearts. I talked to some people, and they've been going through since 1966. And they're still going through. They ain't never come out. But read my Bible. He says, don't camp there, right? He says, yea, I go through the valley of the shadow of death. Listen, it's the valley of a shadow. The shadow of a dog never bit nobody. Right? He says, though I go through the valley of the shadow of death, he says, I will fear no evil. So how long are you going to keep going through before you can do something? We all go through things. I don't know, but I may not look like I'm going through nothing this morning. I'm going through quite a bit. And I will make it to the other side. He says, we are troubled on every side. Y'all think about who wrote this and the things he went through and the things he endured. And we can't even get up because we got a toe ache. I mean, really, I'm just going to use me. What kind of Christian am I really? In other countries, they're being beheaded. Women with sucking babies, their breasts are being cut off where they can't feed their babies and they've got to sit there and watch. I mean, I'm serious, y'all. Y'all watch the news, right? Y'all see things on TV. Y'all got internet, right? These things are happening in other places, and I can't even get up and go to church because I work too hard for some money this week? What kind of Christian am I? What does that say about me and my love for the Lord and my walk with Him? I'm about this deep. But do you realize it's going to come over here sooner or later? It's going to. Why? Because all scripture will be as it is written. So what's going to happen to me, Sandy, when it comes over here and I'm about like this? It's going to be really hard. Now, can I make it through? Sure, if I hang on to Jesus and I do the things I should have been doing all the time. Right? So he says, I'm troubled on every side. I believe it. I read the verses about him. Notice what he says, yet not distressed. In other words, I'm going through on every side, but hallelujah, I'm going to make it. He says, we are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but we're not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. So then death worketh in us, but life in you. We having the same spirit of what? That's how he said all those verses that he just got through saying. Because he had a spirit of faith. He says, we having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believe, and therefore have I what? Your mouth will tell you where you are. Just listen to it. It tells me where I am. He says, we also believe, and therefore speak. That's faith. He says, knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus, and shall present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, because these things. I mean, the dude has been beat, shipwrecked, all kinds of stuff. He says, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, he says, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Now notice this, verse 18. While we look not at the things which are seen. That goes back to what we said a while ago. I had at least 23 years of everything, walking and living and conducting life and making my decisions by everything I see with these natural eyes, everything I hear with these natural ears, everything that I taste with my mouth, everything that I feel with this physical flesh. All my decisions was based on that. And he says, while we look not at the things which are seen, he says, but at the things which are not seen. Do you know this is Hebrews 11:1? He says, faith is the substance of things what? Not seen. If I have faith, it means it's got to be there. Now, this goes back to what I said a while ago. There are things that is for everybody on the entire planet. Salvation is for everybody that will. Healing is for everybody that will receive. Deliverance for everybody that will receive it. Right? All this was done at the cross, right? Actually, before the cross and at the cross, right? All of it. Salvation, deliverance, all this stuff. Freedom from the power of darkness. All of this stuff, right? That's for everybody. Then there's other things because of the plan and purposes of God placed in my life that I'm supposed to have that maybe you're not ever going to have, Shannon. Or that you're going to have, Shannon, that I may never have. There may come a day, Shannon, you may have to have a jet plane to go and minister the gospel all around the world. But guess what? As far as I know, there's never going to be a plane in my purpose and my plan. No. If it's there, faith can cause me to see it. But let me tell you what we try to do a lot of times. Because of something I want or I think is the plan of God, I try to muster up faith to get it. But let me help you with something. If you don't have faith for it and can't get faith, it's not there. And you can't make it get there. There are some people, it is the will of God for them to live in a house. You always say that. There's other people, it is the will of God for them to live in a trailer. You understand me? There's some people, it's the will of God, be ready this time for them to rent. But how many knows God is always working toward ownership for his children? Why? Because whatever he owns, because we're only stewards. Just like this building and this property here, guess what? It belongs to God. Why? Because we belong to God and we just steward it for him. But he says there, he says, while we look not what I can see with this eye right here. This eye cannot see spiritual things. This eye is made, I can only see natural things here, earthly things. But I have another set of eyes on the inside of me, Sandy, that I see by the eyes of faith what is there, and faith takes what is there and moves it into here. That's all faith does. Is able to move something. It causes me to see it there. Why? It says faith is a substance of things, what? Not seen. He says, while we look not at the things which are seen, he says, but at the things which are not seen. I see them through the eyes of faith. Then I use my faith to move it from that realm. Why? The Bible says I have been blessed with all spiritual blessings. Where? In heavenly places. Let me use this for this. Let me finish reading this. Verse 18, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. I have to look at what's not seen. What's that mean? Quit looking at the things that are in this natural realm, and according to this, be looking at what is there. Right? He says, for the things which are seen are what? Temporal or temporary. What's that mean? They are subject to change at any time. He says, For the things which are not seen, they're what? They're eternal. Facts never changes truth. There are people that die and go to hell that never received Jesus, that God in his heart and mind, they was called to minister the gospel, and they will give an account for that. Why? Because that's what God said. Or yet in this realm, they never were. Why? Because God always looks at what's there and not here. Y'all remember what he told Gideon? Gideon was a coward. God told him, he said, go tear down the altars of your fathers and all that, the altars of Baal and all that. The Bible says he was so afraid he wouldn't do it in the daytime. He went out there at night and done it. And the angel of the Lord showed up and said, thy mighty man of valor. Are you serious? Chicken Little over here? Mighty man of valor? Why? God calls those things that be not according to Romans chapter 4, that as though they were already. That's how he took Abram and he called him. He said, you're Abraham, a father of many nations. He ain't never had no kids. Why are you calling him that? Because in the heart and mind of God, before he ever started the earth realm here, he was Abraham. In the heart and mind of God, Gideon has always been a mighty man of valor, even though he's Chicken Little. See, when are we going to start believing we're saints? Oh, y'all said that. When I quit cussing. Y'all ain't saying that. When I quit smoking. Y'all don't grow up. I ain't saying nothing. When I quit dipping and chewing and hanging around with everybody that does. It's in the scripture. When the Apostle Paul would write to him, he'd say, to the saints at Colossae, to the saints at Ephesus. You telling me all them didn't cuss, smoke, dip, chew, and hang around with nobody that do? They still had a lot of problems. Go read, 1 Corinthians 3? He told him, I said, can't even speak to you as being somebody as spiritual. He said, because you're so fleshy. You're so carnal. You just fight and fuss and argue all the time. You saints. Why? Because once I give, listen, I don't care what I do. Once I get born again, heart and mind of God, I am a saint. I know a lot of people, they don't want to be a saint till you die. Then you can't ever do nothing else wrong. But not according to God. The day I got born again, I am a saint. You are a saint of God. You have been made the righteousness of God in Christ. Not by what you do, but by who you believed. But then at the same time, we want to try to believe all that, but conduct our lives by what I see, hear, and think, and feel. And it won't work. It'll get me in trouble every time. Let's look at, I got about 4 minutes. Let's look at Colossians 1. See, salvation has come on the inside of me, but it's only worked out to a certain degree. For time's sake, I'm going to start reading in verse 9. This is the Apostle Paul. He says, for this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you. Now, I believe the Apostle Paul is inspired by the Holy Ghost to write this and to pray this, don't y'all? Every word of this scripture is God-breathed, right? Inspired by the Holy Ghost, written by holy men according to what the Word says, right? So I believe he's praying this, and he's inspired to pray it, and then he's inspired to write it, right? So it must be the will of God. He says, for this cause, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. Notice he says, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, unto all patience and long suffering with joyfulness. Now he's not saying like praying for him anymore. Now he says, giving thanks unto the Father which hath. The word hath is a past tense word. It means it's already been done, right? Giving thanks unto the Father which hath made us meet, or it means fit, to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. Who hath, that means already done, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and hath, another past tense word, translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins.
Story.
I was saying. Most people, you know, maybe everybody don't go as low as some other people, but anyway. And then I get born again. Now, I smoked when I got saved. I smoked before I got saved, and I smoked after I got saved. Cigarettes. Bother me. Bother me for a while after I got saved. There was this woman, Sister Brown, at our church. That woman, she could not hug you without sniffing you. Time you go to church, she's standing at the door to hug you and sniff you. And she'd hug you and she'd go, I mean, real deep, just breathe in, you know, and everything. And for some reason, that started bothering me. And I started noticing how people that smoke smell when I got around them, because I couldn't smell me. You usually don't. Begin to notice how people, that odor that they would have when they smoked, you know. My brother, he called it, you don't marinate it, you know. But anyway, because I have a certain, you know, usually that goes along with that or whatever. And I started noticing that. And all this, I mean, this is the Holy Ghost. This is not me. Because for a while after, it wasn't bothering me. I didn't notice anything. The Bible says no man comes to the Father lest he's what? Grow. I don't know if without he opens it up and reveals it to me. Start pointing things out to me and stuff like that. But anyway, I started noticing how people smell. And I thought, oh, yeah, that is awful. Oh, God. Golly, Bob, y'all marinator, what y'all do? That's the way I smell. But I don't know I smell that way. But anyway, smoking cigarettes starts bothering me. Smoking cigarettes is no worse than any other thing. You understand? But anyway, I'm just telling you my story, what I have lived. We're going to bring out the word here in a minute. This starts bothering me. I'm sitting there. So now there's somebody in here besides me that's bearing witness. That's not the will of God, you, Teresa. I didn't say it's going to send you to hell. I just said it's not the will of God for me. And he's pointing this out. It's not the will of God. So I start feeling bad about it, and I start not to do it. So I'll be going down the road, and I don't throw things out the window, but I did throw this out the window. People going down the road, and I just throw the cigarettes out the window. Let's go. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. I'm free. 30 minutes goes by. 2 hours goes by. 6 hours goes by. I'm drooling. Y'all think I'm kidding? I'm not kidding. I'm drooling. My mouth is full of water. Why? Because there is an addiction in my flesh, but in my spirit, I am free. And there is a desire in my heart, working with my will, to be free. Because I am free in the spirit, but I'm not flesh. Oh, y'all ain't said that. So guess what's happened when my mouth starts watering? Scotty, you better get me to the store. I'm about to take your head off. Smoke. Y'all ain't saying nothing. Some of y'all got to eat. Your God is your belly, and it tells you every time you're going to eat and what you're going to eat and what you're not. So don't be looking at somebody smoking and dipping. We all got something. This was just mine. You know, I got other people. Listen, I think I was in the womb wanting to smoke cigarettes. I don't know that, but that's just telling you. I always, as long as I can remember, I remember getting the far beat out of me as a little bitty kid for smoking. You know? And that's when you hear fingers puff, it's awful. You choke, you think you're going to die, but you just keep on doing it for some reason. Then there's other people in my family, if the thought ever crossed their mind, they would puke. They don't want to smoke. They never want to smoke. We're all born with a bent because of sin too, so. Anyway, to make a long story short, because actually my time is already up, I had this desire to stop. And for years and years and years, I don't know how many years, in my heart I had a desire to quit. I'd throw them away. I'd make New Year's resolution. I would buy patches. I would use this. I would quote the scripture of this. And go to go buy some more and smoke and smoke and cry. Brother Brad even had classes for us one time. Everybody in the church that smoked, he said, okay, we're going to have a class about quitting smoking. And I told him when I went there, I said, listen, Brother Brad, I said, part of me wants to be here. I said, but the other part, they just don't want to be here. He said, well, I understand that. And he had this little study thing. He said that smoking cigarettes was 9 times more addicting than heroin. So, I mean, I went through the whole 9 yards. So a time come up, God began to deal with my heart and all that. And some other things took place that brought me to this verse right here. And I don't smoke, and I hadn't smoked for a long time. But it was when I began to believe what the Word said. The Bible says, whomsoever the Son sets free is what? He's free indeed. But now there's a contradiction in my flesh, Sandy. I'm free in the spirit, and in the natural, I'm smoking. So I would smoke, and I would quote this verse. Thank you, Lord, I'm free. Because, see, I don't get free by focusing on not smoking. I get free by focusing on what he's already done, that I really am. I really am free. You really are free. I don't care what it is. Maybe you eat too much. You know, maybe you eat the wrong stuff. I don't know what it is. Maybe you watch too much junk. I don't know. Whatever it is, this verse here says he's already, past tense, delivered power, darkness. How many know smoking cigarettes is darkness? It is not of God. Now, I didn't say you're going to hell. Don't say things I didn't say. But I know it's not the will of God to do that. No more it's the will of God to drink or smoke or anything else like that. You understand? So I'm free. So to make another long story short, there was this guy, he came to this, his name's Keith Moore. And the same dilemma that I had, he was a smoker. And he'd wanted to quit for years. Been prayed for the best of them. To still be puffing. And he came to him and he told him, he said, Brother Keith, said, I got this problem. He said, I smoke cigarettes and I don't want to smoke cigarettes. He said, but I just can't help it. I smoke cigarettes. Can you help me? He said, well, will you do what I tell you? He said, well, please don't ask me to throw them away. I done throw them. Go back and pick them up, you know, and buy some. He said, well, you do what I tell you. I'm not going to tell you. Pray for it. Hey, do what I tell you. He said, okay, yeah. What? What do you want me to do? Okay. He said, when you open up a pack and take one out, say, thank you, Lord, I'm free from smoking. He said, when I'm taking one out? He said, yeah, when you're taking one out. He said, when you put it to your lips and take your first puff, he said, say, thank you, Lord, I'm free from smoking. He said, are you serious? I'm supposed to be smoking. He said, will you just do what I said? He said, but I'm smoking. Makes no sense to him. He said, will you just do what I told you? He said, yeah. He said, in between puffs. He said, say thank you, Lord, I'm free from smoking. He said, but I'm smoking. He said, just do it. Okay, in between puffs. He said, when you take your last puff and you put it out, he said, say thank you, Lord, I'm free from smoking. He said, okay. He said, I don't know what that's going to do, but okay, I'll do it. He went off after the meeting and everything. Come back weeks later. He's beaming. He ain't even got asked. Runs up to him. He said, Brother Keith. He said, I'm free from smoking. He said, yeah. 2 weeks had went by. He's standing on a street corner, puffing on a cigarette, saying between puffs, saying, thank you, Lord, I'm free from smoking. Throws it on the ground, stomps, and said, thank you, Lord, I'm free from smoking. And all of a sudden, what he was in the spirit, it dawned on him, and he had a revelation on the inside. I am free. He had no desire whatsoever anymore. Why? He's already been made free. But now it has to be worked out. I've got to stop because I'm actually 10 minutes over. I'm going to be in trouble now. I got to stop because time is up. Does anybody have anything they'd like to say or share on the subject with me before we close? Did you really just ask me that?